Amen. This weekend is Easter Sunday. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. This Friday is Good Friday. It's the week of the resurrection. Christians all over the world are commemorating, celebrating, rejoicing for what their God did for them. And I don't know about you, but I plan on joining in on those celebrations. I'm excited about our Easter drama this weekend. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in these last days. I'm fearful for people that believe God is not coming back. I'm fearful. I'm fearful for people that cannot take the word for what it says. He's coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle. And I want to be ready when he comes. And you know, before I jump into this passage of scripture tonight, as we enter into this week, I want you to think about the price that Jesus paid for you and I. I want you to think about how he suffered. I want you to think about how he died. I want you to think about how he rose again. And I want you to think about how he came back to empower us and to infill us with his precious spirit, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the price that he paid for you and for me. Amen. And I just want to be ready when he comes. Amen. And I don't want my flight to be in the winter. I want to be red hot when the Lord comes for his bride. Come on, you remember that old parable that Jesus spake about the bridegroom that come. There were 5 wise and 5 foolish. I don't want to be foolish. Come on, I don't want to be lost when he comes to take me home. Amen. I want to be ready. If you got your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in the 6th verse, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 6th verse. I have something very specific I'd like to speak to you about for a few moments tonight. Amen. So we're going to jump right into the word of the Lord. The Bible says in the 6th verse, for though I would desire to glory. How many know it's our fleshly nature to want to take the glory? Come on, you've played on those ball teams. You've been in those school plays. When people just come up and say, you're just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Come on, we don't have to be taught that. It's just in us. We were born into sin. We were shapen into iniquity, the Bible says. Come on, nobody has to teach us to try to take the glory. We got to teach ourselves that the glory does not belong to us. That's what we have to teach ourselves. Amen. And that's exactly what the apostle Paul was saying here to the church of Corinth. He's saying, for though I would desire to glory because of my flesh. See, I love when people tell me, oh, how great I am. No, you got to suppress that. You got to get rid of that. It's our fleshly nature to want to take the glory. That's what Paul was saying to the church. You don't have to be taught to sin. You were born that way. He said, I shall not be a fool. Though I would desire to take the glory, I'm not a fool. I realize today it belongs to God. Come on. He said, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above every measure. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, every high thing must come down. You know what that means? That means your haughty spirit's going to lead to your fall. That's exactly what that means. Your haughty spirit will lead you to a great fall. Lest I should be exalted above high measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Tell your neighbor, everybody has a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what your thorn is today, but everybody's got a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Come on, I'm getting somewhere. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. What a paradox today. Come on, our minds, our hearts, our flesh tells us that that's exactly the opposite of what our nature would tell us. That when we are weak, then are we strong. That's exactly the opposite of our thinking. Amen. But the apostle said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Come on, there's another difficult one to swallow. That we glory in our infirmities, in our trials, in our tribulations, in our weakness. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution. Somebody say amen. In persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. This is what I want to speak on for just a few moments this evening. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, then am I strong. God bless you. You may be seated. In our weakness, He is made strong. Has anybody in this place ever been through something? Come on, every hand in this place should be raised tonight. Is anybody in this? Come on, Brock's got the right idea. Count me twice. Huh? Matter of fact, count me three and four times. Huh? We all got a thorn in the flesh. We all got infirmities. We all have problems. The Bible says it's inevitable. The storms of life are going to come. We're going to have problems, church. We're going to have situations. We're going to have circumstances. But can I tell you for a few moments tonight that when you get weak, it's not time to surrender the glory of God. You see, it's the opposite of the way that we would think. Brad said it well ago, our ways are not God's ways. And the very opposite sometimes of what we would think is the way that God thinks. And when we do get weak, it's not time to surrender the glory of God. It's time to give the glory to God. Huh? Come on. Go ahead. Clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. See, we got some things wrong. We got some things wrong. See, when we got weakness, when we got problems, we got trials. It's me. No. We don't understand in our weakness, Brother Harold, He's made strong. It's exactly the opposite of the way that we would think. Come on. You don't have to read your Bible very, very much to figure out that the ones that God chose were the weak. The ones that God chose, where did Jesus spend his time? He spent his time with the poor. He spent his time with the needy. He spent his time with the diseased. He spent his time with the outcasts. He spent his time with those that were in need of the great physician. That's who he spent. In your weakness, God is made strong tonight. Hallelujah. When you get weak, it's not time to surrender the glory of God. It's time to give the glory to God. Because when our weakness, he is made strong. Listen, my life is not always good. It's not always fantastic. Fantastico. If there's any Espanoles in here. All right, it's not always exactly what I want it to be. Come on. My life is not always good. But my Savior, my God, my Redeemer, my Waymaker, my Problem Solver, my Bridge over Troubled Waters. Come on, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. He's always good. Everything that is good came down from Him. Our life is not always exactly what we want it to be. We have weaknesses. We have moments of despair. We have problems. We have confusion. That is not of God, but nevertheless, sometimes we have it. We have situations that we don't understand. Hallelujah. Listen, the writer of this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, listen, his life was not a life without trouble. Come on. You guys have read about the Apostle Paul. You know some of his experiences. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. He was persecuted. Come on, all of these things. You know all of these things about the Apostle Paul. His life was not a life without trouble. His life was not a life without weakness and situations and circumstances. Amen. But I believe that there was plenty of weakness in the Apostle Paul's life. There was plenty of opposition in the Apostle Paul's life. You're not, listen, here's a new shocker for you. And if I was back here at that computer, I'd type real big letters all across that screen. I wish we had a bigger screen, but maybe one day we will. But I put in big bold letters all across there, new shocker. You're not the first one to be opposed. You're not the first one to have opposition. You're not the first one that the devil desired to sift as weak. You're not the first one that got weak sometimes. You're not the first one that had problems sometimes. But in your weakness, he is made strong. Newsflash. Amen. You're not the first one to face opposition. They hated him before they hated you. The Apostle Paul had plenty of opposition. There was trying times that he had to hold on to his faith in God just like we do. Sometimes all you got left is your faith in God. You see, it's one thing to say the Lord is my everything. It's another thing to say the Lord is all I got. That's two different things. Come on, see, we can have money in the bank. We can have groceries in the refrigerator. We can have our spouse by our side. We can have our children doing well. And we can say, well, the Lord is my everything. Come on, but to the widow, to the diseased, to the weak, to those that got problems, they understand that the Lord is all that they got. There's a difference in he is your everything and he's all I got. There's a difference. In your weakness, the Lord is made strong. It's the craziest thing to imagine in your mind that at your weakest moment, you are at your strongest point. Come on, think about that. You know why? Because you have decreased. He has increased. Come on, there's no obstruction. There's nothing standing in his way. We don't understand sometimes why we got to go through what we got to go through. We don't understand sometimes why we get weak, why we got problems. Because sometimes the Lord's just got to do a little sifting. Come on. When Way back in the day, and I don't know if mom is old enough to remember doing this, but I'm sure my grandmother did. Wheat used to be sold in a sack. And I'm not talking about a paper bag. I'm talking about an actual sack. Come on. And there were things you would have to take a sifter. You'd have to pour that wheat into that sifter. You have to shake that thing. The wheat would fall through that sifter. And all the stuff that was no good, they would take and they'd throw it away. And a lot of times they'd sift that wheat again. Sometimes we got to be sifted. Sometimes the Lord's got to allow us to go through some stuff to get rid of some stuff. Sometimes the Lord's got to get us to our weakest point. Come on, listen. Brad was talking a while ago about drug addiction and alcoholism. You know what? Some people don't have to get to their lowest point to acknowledge God or give Him the glory that He deserves. Other people do. But sometimes the Lord's got to empty you to the point that there's nothing else in the way. Sometimes the Lord's got to get you to the point that there's nothing else that you can put your trust in but Him. Sometimes the Lord's got to put you to the point He's going to sift you, He's going to shape you, He's going to mold you, He's going to separate you from the things that are holding you back. In our weakness, He is made strong. We can't comprehend these things. But in the spirit, we can understand that God's ways are not our ways. And in the spirit, we can understand that we are our own greatest enemy. We are our own greatest enemy. You see, the life of the Apostle Paul was one that had a lot of trouble in it. He had a lot of circumstances in it. I don't know if you remember his writing where he said, "None of these things moved me." Come on, he was recollecting, he was recalling all of the things that he had been through. And then at the end he said, "None of these things moved me." Amen. He was not a life without problems or without weakness or without circumstances. But I believe he was not speaking with enticing words of man's wisdom. He was speaking from experience. Can I tell you today, there's no greater lesson or there's no greater way to teach or there's no greater schooling than experience. You've heard that old adage of the school of hard knocks. Come on. You heard that from your parents, you know, the school of hard knocks. You heard that old adage, well, you buy them books and send them to school and all they do is chew up the pages. You heard it. You buy them books, you send them to school and all they do is chew up on the corners. You've heard it said all kinds of different ways. Amen. And when it boils right down to it, the truth of the matter is there's no better teacher than experience. And sometimes you just got to be at your lowest point to realize that you're at your strongest point. You see, because the Lord will find a way to get you out of the way so that He can build you up and He can create. He can speak some things into existence. He can create some things. He can shape some things. He can mold some things. He can anoint some things. He can ordain some things when He gets all of that other stuff out of our way. There's no greater teacher than experience. Amen. Listen, and that old phrase, you can buy them books and send them to school. Listen, it says that because there is no, they say that they, the reason they chewed up their books, the reason they chewed up their pages is because they could not see the value of what is important. And that's the way we are so many times in our walk with God. We really cannot see the value and what's important. We can't see the value. Listen, tribulations work patience. Huh? We can't see the value in the tribulation or in the patience because we don't want to go through the tribulation. So we can't see the value in weakness. I'm not telling you that God always intends for you to be weak. Don't misunderstand me today. What I am telling you is sometimes you got to get to your most weakest point so that God can do a new thing in you. All right, sometimes you got to get to your weakest point so He can be made strong. Listen, can I tell you tonight, there's value in your weakness. Listen, don't discount what God is doing in you today. Don't discount what you're going through or what you have been through or what your circumstances. Don't discount what God is accomplishing in you. In your weakness, He will be made strong. Amen. Sometimes we just got to learn that there's value in our weakness, and we got to stop discounting what God is doing in us. Until you've been down in your deepest, darkest valley, until you've been down in your weakest moment of your life, you don't even know what God is able to do for you. Come on. Listen, those that got plenty of money in the bank don't even know what it's like for God to send money to feed their children. Until you've been there, you just don't understand it. But sometimes the Lord's got to allow you to go through your deepest, darkest valley, your weakest moment in your life, for you to realize what God is able to do for you. And when you've got some experience and when you've been through some stuff, you'll know that the valley, you'll know that it takes God to set you on the mountain. Sometimes we take for granted we have good jobs, we have good homes, we have good families. We take for granted the goodness of God in our lives. And we don't realize that it's only through our weakness that He is made strong. Listen, I heard a preacher say one time that when you sit down for a job interview, and I'm sure most of you have done this, when you sit down for a job interview, the person that is interviewing you will say what is on your resume. They always tell you to put your strengths and your weaknesses. But when you actually get to the job interview, they don't care about your weaknesses. What they want to know is, what are your strengths? They want to know, what are you going to bring to my company? What are you going to do to make this a better place than it already is? What do you have to offer me? But see, God is exactly the opposite, Brother Harold. God looks at us. He's not looking for the strong, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God is not looking for the strong. He's not looking for those that are ready right now. He's looking for those that are weak. He's looking for those that are simple. He's looking for those that are willing to say, Lord, here I am. I'm broken. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what you have in store for me, but I put my trust in you. The Lord's not looking for your strengths. He's looking for your weakness. He's looking how you hold on in your lowest point in your life. He's saying, Brock, I know you've been through a lot, but you're hanging on, and I value that, and I'm going to give you some good stuff. Come on. He's saying, Sister Twyla, I know you've been through some stuff, but I see your weakness, and I see you hanging on to the Lord, and I want you to know, in your weakness, I'm going to be made strong. I had to decrease you so that I could be increased in you. It's the exact opposite of what we would think it should be. In our weakness, God is made strong. In our weakness, God is made strong. Amen. He didn't call. Listen, he did not call people like Pontius Pilate. He didn't call people like Pharaoh. He didn't call people like Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't call well-to-do people that had it all, what they thought together. Amen. Listen, you want to know what's amazing? What's amazing is that He loves us so much that before He will allow us to get caught up in ourselves, He will strip us and He will decrease us and He will get us to our lowest point to keep us from destroying ourselves. Have you ever thought about it like that? The Lord decreased you. The Lord humbled you. The Lord put you at your weakest, lowest point in your life to keep you from destroying yourself. You know why? Because this ain't about me. This ain't about you. This ain't about you. This is about Him. This is about Him. We must decrease so that he might increase. In our weakness, he is made strong. He didn't call the qualified. He didn't call the well-to-do. He didn't call the rich. He didn't call the famous. He didn't call all of these people. You know who he did call? He called Abraham, who was an old man. Come on. He called Elijah, who was depressed and suicidal. You know who he called? He called Joseph, who was abused by his family. That's who he called. He called the weak. Come on, somebody. He called Job. He called Job, who was bankrupt, who had lost it all, who had given up everything, and he still didn't turn his back. Though he yet slay me, yet will I praise him. That's who he called. That's who he called tonight. Though he yet slay me, yet will I praise him. Come on. He didn't call the people who had it all together. So the next time you walk into the house of the God and all you want to see is people who got it all together, realize you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place because God didn't come to call everybody who had it all together. He came to call the sinners to repentance. He came to call the sick to be healed. Hallelujah. He called Joseph, who was abused by his family. He called Job, who was bankrupt. He called Moses, who had absolutely zero confidence because of his speech impediment. He called Moses to lead his people out of a bondage that Pharaoh had them bound. And he used Moses, who had absolutely zero ability, zero confidence in himself. He called Moses to do it. He called Gideon, who was afraid of the Midianites. Come on, he hid in the wine press, threshing wheat. Why? Because he was afraid that they were going to come and take what he had worked so hard for. The man was a scaredy cat, but God called him. He was a chicken, but God called him. And he said, "You're a mighty man of valor. I don't see you as weak. I don't see you as a chicken. I don't see you as a scaredy cat. I see you as a mighty man of valor. I see you in your weakest moment. I will make you strong. In your weakest moment, I will make you strong." You see, if the Lord does something, listen, when the Lord feeds the rich, it's really not that big of a deal because everybody knows that the rich got plenty of money to feed themselves. Huh? Come on. But when the Lord gives somebody who ain't got nothing and he sends something, then you know it was of God. So the next time you don't understand, "Lord, why do I got to go through this? Why did I have to be made so low?" It's because, listen, for those that are at their lowest moment, when God does something for them, he gets the glory. Not us. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about him. It's about in our weakness, he is made strong. Listen, he called Samson, who was unwise, he was a womanizer. Listen, he went against God's plan. He fell in love with Delilah. He called Rahab, who was a prostitute. He called the Samaritan woman at the well, who was divorced and was messing around with some other man, but God called her out of what she was in. Hallelujah. He called Noah, who was a drunken. Noah was a drunken, but God caused him to build an ark to the saving of his house. And God will cause you to build an ark to the saving of your house. If you'll just realize in your weakest moment, he will make you strong. He called Jeremiah, who was just a young boy. He called Jacob, who was a cheater and a thief and a liar, a deceiver. He called David, who was a murderer. He called Jonah, who was another chicken that ran from God when God told him what to do. He called Naomi, who was a widow, and he called Peter, who was just an old fisherman. Come on, God did not come to call the mighty and the noble. He came to call you. And I'm telling somebody in this place today, in your weakness, don't get discouraged. Don't give up the glory. Don't give up ship. Don't throw in the towel. It's not time. In your weakness, God will make you strong. In your weakness, he is made strong. He sees you in your moment of despair. He sees you in your weakest moment as an empty vessel that He can fill. He can sift. He can critique. He can shape. He can mold. He can anoint. He can ordain. He can call. He can give order. He sees you as that weak vessel with so much opportunity that God can do amazing things in your life. Listen, for 40 years, David reigned as king. He reigned 7 years over just Judah. He reigned 33 years over the combined kingdom when once the kingdom was reunited. 40 years David reigned as king. And I want you to understand something. The Lord called him when he was but a boy. While he was out tending to his father's sheep, his older brothers were walking before the prophet, the man of God. Come on, here's another one. No, that's God said that's not him. Here's another one. Bring him out. No, God said that's not him. Here's another one. Bring him out. God said that's not him. Well, that's all we got. No, there's got to be another. Yeah, there's just a child. There's just a boy. He's just a young man. He has nothing to offer. He's weak. He's unable. He's not capable. He cannot go out and kill the Goliath. He cannot go out and destroy the enemy of God. Yes, he can. Get him out here. Because in his weakness, in his youth, in his inability, in his inability, I will be made strong. I will be made strong. God did not call the mighty and the noble. Come on, there's nothing more disgusting than an old preacher always running around giving himself attaboys. Come on, there's nothing worse than an arrogant boss that you can't hardly stand to work with. Come on, there's nothing like a friend that's always tooting on their own horn. You know why? Because that is not of God. It is not of God. God is not in that mess. God is not in that stuff. God is looking for people that are willing to humble themselves before Him and say, Lord, I'm nothing without You. Here I am. I'm unable. I'm incapable. Listen, but I'm willing. I'm willing to do what You would have me to do. As the musicians come, 40 years David reigned as king over Israel. Listen to me. The Lord called him when he was just a boy. Just like many of you young people in this church tonight. The Lord has called you in your youth. You do not have to wait until you're 55 years old and broken down and confused and depressed and addicted for God to call you. God is calling you right now as I'm speaking to you tonight. The Lord has a calling on your life. The Lord has a plan for you. The Lord has something special in store for you. You don't have to wait. David did not wait. Joshua did not wait. Come on, the Lord called these men in their youth. And David, as a boy, was anointed of God, killed a lion and a bear. He killed Goliath. And he went on to reign for 40 years over God's people. The Lord called him young. The Lord called him unable. The Lord called him incapable. But nevertheless, the Lord called him because the Lord uses the weak things of this world. Come on, the Lord uses the weak people of this world and He makes them strong. And He'll make you somebody. At your lowest point, when you feel like you're nobody, that God will make you somebody. Amen. In our weakness, church, He is made strong. It's exactly the opposite of what we would think tonight. Amen. As we begin to play that song, I remember a message that Brother Doug McKee preached one time. He was talking about Samson and how that Samson had told his secret to Delilah. Delilah deceived him. While he was sleeping, she cut off his hair, which was his strength. He gave her the secret to his strength. And Samson's spiritual ignorance led him to a place of bondage. He fell prey to the Philistines. Sister Donna, they plucked out his eyes. He was a man of strength, a man of prosperity, a man who had everything. And all of a sudden, he found himself at his weakest moment in his life. Would you stand with me tonight? He found himself at his weakest moment in his life. Here he was, a man who went out one day with the jawbone of an ass and slew all of these mighty men. No one could beat him. He was anointed of God. But he gave up the secret of his strength. He found himself with his eyeballs plucked out of his head. And here he was, pushing on a grinding wheel, all around in a circle as a slave to the Philistines. You ever feel like a slave to this old world? You ever feel like you're at your weakest moment? You ever feel like you can't see, like your eyeballs been plucked out of your head? This is what Samson was. Here he was, pushing on the wheel. Just pushing on the wheel as he went around. Time and time again, pushing on the wheel. Grinding meal for the Philistines. He was at his lowest point in his life. But you know what? The Lord had a plan. The Lord's intention all along was to inflict some things upon the Philistines. They had defied the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. And you know what? The Lord had a plan, and Samson was a part of that plan. And even though Samson deviated from the plan, and he messed up and he gave up the source of his strength, the Lord said, in your weakness, I'm going to be made strong. Here he was, his eyes plucked out. He's pushing his way around, grinding meal for the Philistines. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, get you one of those little Philistines and ask them to lead you over to the two pillars. He finds a little Philistine and take him over to the two pillars. And here's a man in his weakest moment. In his moment of despair, he doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't see anything. But he puts his hands upon the pillar. Can I tell you, God's plan for you is not over with yet. I know you might feel you're at your weakest moment. These altars are open right now. I know you feel you might be in your moment of despair. But if you'll hold on, the Lord's going to finish his work in your life. Come on. They led Samson over to those pillars. And there he stood. And all of a sudden, Brother Mike, the plan of God was back in progress. He reached out. He put his hands up on those pillars and he began to push. And all of a sudden, the pillars fell over and the building fell in and killed all of those Philistines. And the plan of God was accomplished even in Samson's weakest moment. God was still made strong. Is there anybody in this room tonight that would say, Lord, I'm at my weakest moment. I'm here, Lord. I don't know what you have in store for me. These altars are open. I don't know what you have in store for me, but I know that in my weakness, you are able to be made strong. I know that you still have a plan for me. And as long as I don't jump off the ship, as long as I don't give up, as long as I don't throw in the towel, you're still able to do it. You're still able to bring it to pass. Can you lift your hands towards heaven tonight? And let's just love him for a moment in this place. Sing this song with us tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.